understand, is renewed day by day. You know, we get older. Our body is getting older. We're wearing out. We're, you know, basically we're dying out. But our inward man, that can be, you know, our soul is not even connected with eternity. I'm sorry, it's the other way. Our soul is connected with eternity, not time. Our body is connected with time. And so that can become stronger and stronger as we seek Jesus, you know, to become more like him and to seek truth and to follow truth. That's what we want to do this morning. Okay, we'll dismiss the children for singing in the basement, 9 years and under. And we'll give our attention to Evan as he leads in our devotional meditation.
Well, good morning. I want to greet each one in Christ's name this morning as well. What I want to talk about this morning, kind of two different subjects, but when I got the hotline about communion, about preparatory service and communion, I had the thought, wow, that came up fast. It's kind of, I didn't really think about it, but Easter's right around the corner. And I'd been studying something else, and I was like, well, how can I tie this in with communion? And as I kept studying this, it was like, well, there's one point that has everything to do with communion, what Christ did. What I was studying about is a question that some people ask. Do you really believe a loving God would send people to an eternal hell? And the way this question came about was they're looking at the Old Testament God. They're looking at how he used his people to punish others. And it's not necessarily about unreached people groups, but I had to think about that. Even they use this excuse to justify their own, try to get rid of God. But if you really look at it, what would you answer? I had to think about that. What would be my answer? And as I was studying this, because I want to have a right answer for this, right off the bat, it was like, well, we sin. We deserve it, right? Well, that kind of answers their question. It's like, yeah, God is kind of harsh. It does seem that way. But I'm going to look at a couple examples in the Old Testament that, yeah, God punished sin, but then he did something much more than that. The first example is the flood. There's a lot of people that say, what about all those innocent people? What about the children? But, you know, these claims, they're an attack on God's character, so we need to have these answers. Specifically, but the children, what about them? But if we look around the world as today, it seems like children are bearing the brunt of most of the violence. Think about abortion and the slave trade and all that kind of stuff that still goes on in many countries. I think it says in Genesis 32, you know, Noah was about 500 years old, and he, when he begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth, so there was maybe not that many children left, and even those were probably not so innocent. But you think about the flood. Yes, it destroyed everyone because of sin, but what did God do? He gave a way for those people to escape that. He gave no instructions for the ark. And those people had that choice, to go on the ark or to stay out and be destroyed. So whose fault is it? Was it God's fault that they didn't come to him there? The second example is Adam and Eve. Now this is kind of where kind of goes into what Christ did, the promise that God gave of Christ. How can God punish all people for one person's sin? Well, we're all born with the sin nature. And Adam and Eve knew the punishment for sin. They knew what it was going to be. It was going to be death. But they sinned anyway. And the sin nature is passed down to us through Adam. We are no different from Adam. We deserve that punishment of death. However, there are blessings amidst that curse. The first one is in Genesis 3:15. the first promise of Christ. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So we have the promise of Christ, a Savior. That's the first blessing. Second one is, you know, they should have died right there. Should have been it. Should have been separated from God. But God is very patient. He gave them a grace period. He covered their sins by sacrificing animals in their place. Sin is punishable by death. Something has to die. But these only covered the sin. Only Christ's sacrifice can take it completely away. So there's two promises. There's salvation in Christ, and there's a grace period. But there's a third one that most people would probably miss if you didn't read through the rest of the Bible. By being sentenced to die, man is not forced to live in this sin-cursed world forever. That is kind of an odd promise, odd blessing, but it is. By dying in Christ, we can inherit a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, man sinned, but God acted justly by punishing that. But he went beyond that. He offered us those three blessings. Imagine if a murderer went before a judge, and the judge said, "You have broken the law. You deserve 50 years in prison with no parole. But I'll give you 1 year, just 1 year. And you don't have to start serving that for 6 months. And after 1 year, I will give you a guaranteed release. And on top of that, I will buy you a $1 million home, and I will prepare it for you." You know, it seems strange that people would say that that judge was harsh. Yeah, that's what they do today. But what would even be stranger is if they would refuse that. I mean, how many people do that? How often do I do that? I kind of do, in a way, kind of refuse that every once in a while. But I want to claim that. And to tie that in with what I was thinking about with communion in Christ, and turn to Isaiah chapter 53. I want to read that chapter. Something else I was thinking about as well was, how does Jesus' death bring forgiveness to us? And I was just reading through this chapter again. It's nothing new. It's very familiar, but I was just struck again with what's in here. So I'm going to read through this. "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." So just thinking about how Jesus' death brings us forgiveness, Scripture teaches that all humanity is tainted, that we all have sin, and God, as a righteous judge, cannot and will not simply overlook that. That would not be right. He would be actually unjust if you say, "Oh well, that's just the way it is." The New Testament, it speaks of Jesus' death providing forgiveness in at least three ways. First, Jesus' death was a sacrifice for our sins. Christ fulfills the Old Testament system of sacrifices. He was both the high priest and the sacrifice. Kind of interesting on reading through the Old Testament with that. On the Day of Atonement, animals were killed before the altar, and the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Under that seat were the tablets of stone upon which had been written the Ten Commandments. Looking down from heaven, God could see the law, but when the sacrificial blood was sprinkled, the law, as a reminder of people's sin, was covered. That blood covered that law. That law was just to remind, was a reminder of sin, but it had to be something that had to shed blood for that. So, one, he's the sacrifice for our sin. The second, Christ's death is a propitiation for our sin. And that word carries the meaning of an offering satisfying God's wrath towards sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The Father was pouring out his wrath upon him. He became sin for us, so we don't have to go to the cross. And the third one is, it's kind of related to both. The Bible speaks of Christ's death as a substitution. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve many and to give his life, a ransom for many. So Jesus gave his life for us, so we don't have to. He was the substitute for us. He died in our place. And as reading through this chapter, someone had mentioned it a while back, and I just did it when I was reading through this. He replaced my name with these personal pronouns in here for ours and we. Just as an example, one of them. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for Evan's iniquities. You know, just put your name in there. It makes it really personal. Just a new thought that, you know, as we come through this communion, you know, what just think about what Christ did for you. You know, it's by faith and faith alone that we can receive that forgiveness then. But that result is eternal life. I'm so thankful for that. That's all I had this morning. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've blessed us with. Thank you for your Son who was willing to die on the cross for us, Lord. Just thank you for the many blessings that you've given us, eternal life, Lord, that we can one day live with you. Just be with the rest of this service. May the worship be honoring and glorifying to you, Lord. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.